Let's give the Lord the praise right now, everybody. Come on, come on. Just forget about everything but you and God. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. It's good to be in God's house tonight and enjoying the good worship and the good. I love good, lively praise, worship. Amen. I'll take funeral music for a while, but I like a little foot stomping, hand clapping, jumping around a little bit. Amen. Because I think it gets people a little bit out of themselves and into the presence of the Lord. Awesome, awesome conference. One of the most awesome conferences I've ever been in. I have been in this week. And I believe the Lord has utilized it in the hearts and lives of so many people. Of course, Brother Hughes, my good friend, we go back quite a ways. He's helped me through some hard, hard situations. That was before he got his doctor's degree. I mean, he helped me back when? Amen. And, of course, Brother and Sister Morgan, very, very dear friends that I don't know who all prays for y'all, but every day, Mark Morgan and Naomi Morgan, Bethany and Charity and John Mark and Jeremy. I have a little tough time when I come to Jeremy. Where is he at? No, that's not true. It's awesome. And then I pray for this church because I feel the burden and the weight of being an elder of this church. I want you to make sure you pray for your pastor. I don't want anything to happen to him. I've got enough on my hands. Let me preface what I'm fixing to talk to you about tonight. I stayed in my motel room most of the day. Now, wait a minute. Don't think I'm this high, lofty, spiritual person. I got up about 4 something and had my prayer. And yes, I did one of the most spiritual things I know of. I went back to bed for a little while, rested, got back up. But the prayer that I had prayed earlier today just kept turning. The wheel just kept turning. I got dressed and went out and walked on the outside a little bit and went down to a little restaurant by myself, and I just had me one great big time today. Thank you for letting me do that. Came back and opened my Bible and just try to seek for the will of God. I don't want to take up a lot of time doing this, but I've got to do it because what I'm going to preach on tonight, the devil is mad. Very mad. Because I'm going to stir somebody up here tonight to do something for God. I preached about 30 years ago along these lines. And I am one of the worst preachers about preaching a sermon again. My son-in-laws can't believe it, that I will hardly ever preach a sermon a second time unless it's just an overwhelming feeling. And that happened to me last Wednesday night at our home church. This is what I'm going to preach to you. After the service was over with, my wife just kept patting me on the back. She don't do that. We've been married 47 years. I probably can count on one hand she's done that. Ooh, that felt good. Hallelujah. and said, you've got to preach that in San Francisco. So if something happens that don't work, it's her fault, okay? But let me preface. I'm going to preach to you on the power of aggressive confession. The power of aggressive confession. When I first talked along these lines 30-something years ago, I did it. I was caught up in the anointing of the whole business from the Word of God. The next day, when I pulled into the parking place there, I was listening to the radio, and there was an atheist that was always on a talk show. He hosted the show, and he was a very belligerent atheist. He was a Jewish man, but he happened to be interviewing the number one atheist in our country at that time, Madeline Murray O'Hare. They got to saying things, and I couldn't believe. My skin was crawling, it felt like. And I just sat there, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I got ready to turn it off, and I heard the Lord speak to me and say, do you really believe what you preached last night? I said, I do. He said, well, why don't you put it in practice right now? And I thought, okay, how do I do that? So I began to speak to that radio. I pointed to that radio. I kept speaking to the radio. And first thing I knew, I was speaking some strong medicine. And I said, I command these two to get so confused that they don't even know and understand what they're saying. I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. Well, what happened, they got into a fight right in, within about 5 or 8 minutes. They got into a fight and said, I don't even want to talk to you. I don't even know what you're talking about. Back and forth. I said, yes! Yes! How many believes the Holy Ghost works and the Word of the Lord works? How many is convinced that it can happen here tonight? In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Okay, those of you that's worked in the projection, please help me with my scriptures tonight. At this stage of my ministry, I'm trying not to preach anything of theory any longer. Little volume here. Or just to teach theology anymore. I want to preach everything I can that has its origin in my experience or in things that I have gone through or that I have been taught that has come through experience. In other words, I don't want to just give you a Bible lesson tonight. I want to be something powerful in the Spirit in the lives of everybody here. So to introduce my theme tonight, I want to take an analogy from an experience in the Word of the Lord that goes back when God met Moses there in the burning bush experience. You remember the Lord speaking and saying, I want you to become leader, and I want you to take my people and set them free. Lead them out of the bondage of the most powerful army in the world, basically, and out of Egypt. You remember the Lord coming and speaking to him out of the bush. And this is what he said in Exodus 4:1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Now that's what I want to preach on, that part that Moses' rod played in the deliverance of the Israel out of Egypt's bondage. He was a very cautious person. And that the rod that Moses had basically was an almond rod. I don't know what kind of texture that is, and I don't know how hard it is, but evidently it was quite sufficient for a shepherd. Most shepherds carried rods at that time or staffs. And nothing special to Moses. Probably he had had this thing for many, many years, maybe the 40 years that he was there in the desert. But there was nothing he saw that was important in the rod that he had. Look at verse 3. And he said, cast it on the ground. God did. And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, everybody knows you don't take a snake by the tail, because that leaves the business end able to turn around and to bite you. You understand the head. Verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. In essence, God says what you've got. This is pretty simple, but you're going to understand. He said, you've already got everything that you need, Moses, in your hand, and that is the rod that you're carrying. He is saying, if you could even realize the power that's there in that rod, you would not need not one thing else. Exodus 4:17, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. The rod that is so commonplace, the rod that he had had for many, many, many years there with him, the Lord said, this that you have in your hand is going to do many, many signs. So, really, there's three phases in God's dealings with Moses with about this rod. Number one, Moses had the rod a long time, okay? But he didn't know what kind of potential that he had. If you'll just bear with me tonight and resist tonight, the old enemy that's going to try his best to distract you and me. Amen. Because I see something happening in San Francisco. I believe that I'm looking at a bunch of people that feels the Lord has got you primed and ready and postured and you want to do something. We're fixing to do something in just a few moments here. Praise God. And then secondly, when he discovered what happened to it, when he discovered it, he became afraid of it and ran from his own rod. Thirdly, when he reached out to grasp it, it became an instrument of authority in his own hand. It was through that rod that authority was given to Moses, and that authority could be demonstrated, amen, that God had put on him. So it's interesting to me. What happened when he got back to Egypt? You would think that when you would see this kind of manifestation of mighty, wonderful work of God, that it would increase his faith in such a measure. Amen. God had showed him how he was going to use this little thing that he had. It was not little, but this ordinary situation that he had in his hand, how God was going to use it. But it was not as easy as somebody might would think. When he got back to Egypt, instead of it just being a little commonplace, it was now a supernatural opposition that he had to come against, and there had to be real power and real miracles that would happen. But God's power is greater than the devil. How many believes that tonight? How many believes that tonight? Exodus 7:8-9, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, it was Aaron's rod and Moses' rod, okay? Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. You would think that would have convinced Pharaoh. It would convince me pretty quickly, because most of us, if we found ourselves in the presence of a man who could throw a rod on the ground and it would become a snake, we would probably be saying, this man's got more than I've got. We probably would. But Pharaoh said, let's see what my magicians can do first. Exodus 7 and 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. Oh, my, if we stop right there, then the thing would not be too challenging whatsoever. But there's an end to this story, and I love the end of it. It says, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. Now, I want you to picture this scene with me just for a moment here. The magicians walking out, hands in their pockets, and they had no rods whatsoever when they walked out of the scene. But when Aaron walked out, he carried a rod that was much thicker and a rod that's much stronger than when he went in. That's what God's rod can do. Hallelujah. I am saying that God's got something for His church in this hour that's going to meet every challenge of the supernatural element that the devil is going to come against the church with. What I'm preaching is very relevant here tonight. What I'm telling you is very important here tonight. I believe that God is going to use you and me. I've been practicing this. I have been doing this for a long period of time. I have found that it works. I am convinced that it works, that God is going to take somebody that's going to use some ordinary means, and He is going to give authority and power, and He's going to change the situation. Oh, yes, I'm holding this up because I want to tell you something. I believe there's power in this rod right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul speaks about the last days. The whole chapter of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, it's all about the last days. And verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. He says, for their folly shall be made known. The word manifest means made known. Whatever's been going on, it's going to come out and be made known unto all men, as also theirs was. There's going to come a rise in the time of the end, the Scripture says, and it's going to be a major, major rise against the church of Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid of what the devil's doing. Even when I stand here, I'm aware that this is the city where the first church of Satan has existed, may still exist, I don't know. But I did come in contact with the second in command of the church of Satan. And when I walked into Janae's apartment, that's the one I talked about last night, after she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God gave her incredible experience. We baptized her in the name of Jesus, and we rented her a little apartment. Indeed, her father, who was 6'9" tall, Samoan, huge person, came and found her. Somehow or another, he found her. And my wife and I went to the downtown, to the apartment, to get Janae to go with us so that we would have lunch. And we walked in, and she sat like a statue there in her chair, just her by herself. And we said, get your clothes, get ready, we're fixing to go have dinner. She said no. She was so cold and so seemed like frozen, and she said no. I said, well, come on, get up and go get your clothes, get ready, and let's go. She says no. So I couldn't convince her. I walked out, my wife and I, when we closed the door, I told my wife, I said, you know why she didn't go? She said, why? I said, her daddy is in there in that room. She said, wait a minute. shook my wife up and said, where was he? I said, he was behind the door in the bathroom. How do you know? I said, I felt that ugly, rotten spirit that was there. Amen, amen, amen. Somebody needs to hear what I'm fixing to tell you. This last hour, I don't care what people's talking about, the dust or hair or pin dolls or whatever it is, don't you ever get worried. The Lord's got the power to resist. You're going to be carrying the power of God with you wherever you go. Don't you? I don't care if people talking about witches praying against the church and praying against the men of God. Well, I got news for them. We got men of God praying for the men of God. We got saints of God praying for men of God. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. I do believe this. I do believe that the final conflict in the last days is not going to be a conflict of theology. I know you can learn so much about the Bible that you become a pinhead, and that's all you can do is maybe talk about good things in the Scripture, which I love, but if that's all you got, it's not going to be sufficient. Somewhere along the line, there's got to be a power of God that's got to be manifested. I believe the conflict in the end time is going to be a conflict of power. Who is it that has the greater power? Hallelujah. I'm glad to give you a good report on that. Amen. Greater is he that's in the church than he that's in the world. I'm glad to give you a good report that God's going to meet every challenge of the dark spirit of hell and the Antichrist through the power of the church of the living God. Come on, clap your hands and let's praise him. It's going to happen. Going to happen. Well, what I want to do tonight is apply this to the word of the Lord. If you'll accept the analogy that I'm giving to you, you're going to find out that you have in your hand the rod of God. It's a book that you probably carried around a long time, and you probably have left it on your coffee table and there on the dresser a number of times. But this book is better than just what a lot of people think. There's power in the word of the Lord that I am going to do my very best to get you to understand tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe you didn't know the power that could be released from the word of the Lord. I want to illustrate this from the little analogy that I gave to you from Moses. The first thing that Moses did, the Bible says that he trembled basically at the power of that rod. He trembled at it. Amen. I believe that the beginning of success for me and you is going to be in handling the Word of God correctly. It's going to come to the place that when we operate with the Word of God, we're going to tremble at what this Word of God represents. Brothers and sisters, you better hang on to this tonight because you're going to need it in the few days that are to come. I'm going to tell you there's a power of deliverance that's there. You can carry the Bible around and maybe never have trembled and apprehended the awesome power of God and the supernatural power that's contained in the Word of God. Isaiah 66:2. For all things hath mine hand made, and those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and of a contrite spirit, and the one that trembleth at my word. God's saying, the man I'm going to respect and the prayers I'm going to listen to are the man that I'm going to bless his ministry with is the one that is contrite. And he literally trembles at the awesome power that is in the Word of God. Moses ran from the rod. He trembled and ran from the rod. Amen. Why is it right to tremble at the Word of God? First of all, God's Word is his creative power. This power, this book has got power to create. Hallelujah. You say, I'm weak. I don't care if you're weak. This thing is strong and powerful. You say, I don't have ability. I don't care if you don't have an ability. I can't speak. I don't care if you can't speak. You can speak enough to repeat what's in this word of the Lord. And there's power and creative power that's in this Bible. Psalms 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Not only did the Lord create the worlds with the power of his word, but he holds them in place. The scripture says they are held in reserve. There's not a ghost of a chance that a star is going to fall or planets are going to get out of orbit before their time, because the word of God has got them held in place. Hebrews 1:3. I'm going to give you scripture tonight. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And the third thing you need to tremble about at the word of God is the word of the Lord discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart of every person that's in this room tonight. When you pick up to read this book turns around and reads you. There's something about the power of this book. It's quick. It's alive. The scripture says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the divide and asunder of both soul and spirit. Oh, hallelujah. What was the fall of Adam like? How do you describe the fall of Adam? When he messed up with sin, his spirit that had walked with God and talked with God and was so sensitive to the presence of God, the Bible speaks about the fall. What does he mean by the fall? It was the spirit of Adam fell to the level of his soul. So at that point, soul and spirit is where Adam began to operate. In a soulish nature, that's why people loves all kinds of entertainment. They are taken and they're curious about all kinds of situations. They're not walking in the spirit or according to their spirit. They're walking according to the dictates of that soulish, selfish nature. Hallelujah. But let somebody come into the presence of the preached, anointed word of God. It gets so sharp. It reaches in where the soul and the spirit have come together and lifts the spirit of man back into the presence of an almighty God. And that spirit can now talk to the Lord. Aren't you glad for the preached word of the Lord tonight, that you're not walking according to the dictates of your carnal soul, but you're walking according to the spirit with spirit? Somehow another God's spirit is speaking to your spirit while I'm in this pulpit tonight. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Praise God. There's no secret to God, to what's going on in your life. God knows everything that's happening to us. Hallelujah. And the final reason you need to tremble at this word, listen to me, is that this book is going to be the standard by which you and I are judged. John 12:48, he that rejoiceth or rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The scripture talks about the book is going to be open. Everybody in this room needs to hear me. And the books are going to be open. This book right here is going to judge every man. I love to preach what I'm fixing to preach. That's so wonderful to me, because somehow or another I can preempt the judgment of God. It gives me an opportunity right now, knowing this book is my judge. gives me the opportunity, amen, to preempt God's judgment. I can read this Bible and judge myself right now. I can repent, and when I get ready to meet God's conditions, amen, I will be judged at that moment. If I don't judge myself and repent and get ready to meet the great God of eternity, then this book is going to judge me at that last hour. Aren't you glad that you can take this word of the Lord and preempt judgment then and judge yourself right now? Let's lift our hands and let's pray. Holy Spirit, baptize our minds right now. Come on, let's pray. Baptize our spirit. Baptize our body. In the name of Jesus Christ, give us, oh Lord, the word of the Lord into our spirit. When Moses trembled at the rod, that was the beginning. Then God said, I want you to reach out and get a hold of it. I want you to grasp it. So after I tremble at the awesome power that's in this book, I'm going to have to grasp it and take it up. Amen. To appreciate the supernatural power and the authority that's in this book tonight. Amen. So you're going to have to do what I'm going to tell you. I don't know if you're getting this or not. I know you've heard good preaching and all of that. But I'm getting down where we live tonight. I've done so much counseling, Brother Hughes. I have stayed by the hours with people. I've realized when they walk away, it's not but just a short period of time. They're back where they were. I'm so tired of doing these kind of things. I'm going to hand out something right now that should somehow or another take authority over every one of our situations, no matter what we're going through or what people have done and said to us. I'm going to exercise supernatural power against the powers of hell and darkness, and that is this wonderful word of God. The rod will become the instrument of your authority. That's what's going to happen in the name of Jesus. God didn't liberate Israel with an army. All he did was use that rod that was in the hand of Moses and Aaron. It's important to realize that everything he did in the power of deliverance for Israel was done by that rod. Just look it up. And I believe the same thing is true today of the word of the Lord. Until we learn to use the authority of the word of God and how to use it, God's people are going to remain in captivity. They're going to remain strapped by the powers of darkness and hell. In the name of Jesus, I come against that right now. In the name of Jesus, I come against everything that is coming into the minds of individuals that's in this house right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak the word of faith right now to somebody in this house. You're going to be set free. We're going to be singing freedom, 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 freedom. Thank God I'm free. Thank God I'm free. How do I grasp and extend the rod of God in my hand? The key word, I believe, aggressive confession. Aggressive confession. Speaking the word of God with divine authority to affect the purposes of God in the earth. To understand this better, you're going to have to understand what the word confession means. This doesn't mean going into some booth telling all your sins to somebody that's amen and expect to get help. God help us. Amen. I'm not talking about going in confessing your sins to somebody. The word comes from a Greek word, which means to say the same as. Come on, everybody, say that with me. To say the same as. So for one who believes the Bible, confession means I've got to say the same thing as God has said. and His Word is just as powerful. How come we're going through so much? We've heard so much talk about the Bible and all of that over the years, and how come we're still having to deal with situations? It's because you can look at that book, you can even read the book, but unless you do something with it, it's not going to have its power released. You're going to have to get a hold of the book and the words of the Lord, and you're going to have to speak that, and that is what is the word confession is all about. It is saying the same thing as what God says. So I need to say the same thing about myself that God says about myself. I need to say the same thing about the situations that I encounter that God says about those situations. In other words, I've got to make sure my mouth agrees with the Word of God. I got to make sure it agrees with the Word of the Lord. There's all through the Bible, there's so much that's said about confession in the name of the Lord. God, help me to get this out tonight without preaching. Hallelujah. One of the unique revelations about the book of Hebrews, if you remember, is about Jesus Christ being our high priest. There's no other book that has any kind of description that much about it. It's quite a revelation when you read it, and it's a very vital revelation. He is our high priest. It's directly, the scripture says, the high priesthood of Jesus is directly associated and related to our confession. Only when I make the right confession is the Lord's ministry of high priest is effective in my life tonight. Amen. And it will operate on my behalf. There's no doubt whatsoever about it. Hebrews 3 and 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's called an apostle. We understand what an apostle is, that an apostle is one that is sent. Amen. He is the first apostle, and he was sent for what reason? He was sent to redeem us. He was sent to bring us into relationship with God, and he was sent to finish the work there to get rid of sin in our life. But when he left the earth, things changed a little bit, and he became our high priest. And to everybody that believes the apostolic message and believes of the apostolic plan and purpose of God, Jesus has become their high priest. But the only way it's effective in our life, the Bible says, is through our confession. Simply put, if you have no confession, you don't proclaim the word, you don't speak forth the word, you don't prophesy the word, you have no high priest. I want a high priest to help me out. That's why I'm picking up the rod tonight. I'm picking up the rod. You discover quickly that the devil will do everything he can to get you to make the wrong confession. He hates it because once you make the right confession, he loses his power over me and you. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, he says, let us hold fast. Dear God, I don't want to let go of this. Let us hold fast to our profession or confession. Hebrews 10:21 and following, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast. I'm going to hold fast to this profession or confession of my faith, and I'm not going to waver when I do it, because this thing is going to help me make it. This is the only thing that's eternal that I have in my home. This is the only thing that's going to take me from this life into the life that is to come. Go ahead, somebody, and talk about the coming of the Lord. I'm going to hold on to this right here because this is what's going to help me get off the face of the earth when Jesus comes back. I'm going to hold fast to my confession that Jesus is my high priest. Amen. The devil's going to try to make me and you make the wrong confession. He's going to try to get us to open our mouths and say the wrong thing so that somehow or another we're going to be defused from power. But God says all you got to do is take the rod again. You tremble at it. There's power in it. There's awesome power in it. And you make a confession and say the same thing that God says about your situation. I'm not going to shut up, devil. I'm fixing to preach. Hallelujah. So when you are in any kind of situation as a believer, this came to me so strong here today, you can do three things. Amen. You can hold fast to your confession and have the authority of Jesus Christ to operate on your behalf. That sounds like the winner. Or you can do nothing. And if you do nothing, what's going to happen? You're going to be at the mercy of the circumstances you're going through. I don't think you're going to like the results because anything can happen at that time. And the third thing that you can do, you can make a worse confession, which is a negative confession, in which case you're going to open up yourself to negative forces. I don't want to go that way. Amen. So basically what I'm preaching here tonight is what you do with your mouth is going to determine the course of your life. James said the tongue is a rudder. It's a little thing, but it determines the course of our life. Amen. He also said if any man can control his tongue, what kind of man is he? Perfect man. I'll answer that for you. Thank you. You can go to front of the class. All right. But the ultimate achievement to me as a Christian, amen, is to always and only make the right confession and say always what God says about you and your situation. That sounds pretty simple, but it's not. It's not simple at all. It's not easy at all. So here's what I want to do. I want somehow or another you to get in this with me tonight, and then we're going to quit. Amen. If you're not going to get with me in this, there's no need me preaching any longer. I'm going to tell you right now, there's got to be something to happen. Some years ago, this was probably 35 years ago. 35 years ago, I've been in Denver 37. I had a phone call from a preacher back in Oklahoma. And the man said, I just want to tell you that I had a dream about you. He said, no, I had two dreams back to back, and it was the same dream. And he said, he was a friend of mine, he said, Billy, I'm sorry to tell you, in those dreams, you died. Well, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? Amen. You know what I could have done? I could have accepted that. I could have accepted that and walked around, and I would have been so depressed and let down and dark cloud over my life. But I decided I'm not going to do that. I looked in my Bible. I found something that said, I shall not die but live to do the works of the Lord. You didn't hear me. I decided to say the same thing this Bible said. I shall not die but live to do the works of the Lord. I shall not die but live to do the works of the Lord. I shall not die but live to do the works of the Lord. I'm telling you, the devil cannot stand this book. Amen, amen, amen. So, it's your confessions that the forces of God and the forces of Satan meets in this vortex. How many of you have ever had a time where things were spinning around your head and you were saying, what in the world is these forces spinning and swirling around my head? What are these pressures that I feel? I'm going to tell you the pressures. You got pressures from the devil to try to get you to say the wrong thing and make the right confession or the wrong confession. But you've got God on the other side trying to get you to get a hold of the Word of God and make the right confession. Don't you let the devil get a hold of you that you walk around talking negative stuff about yourself. There's a word in this book here that can put the devil into flight. I said, there's a word in this Bible. God offers the power to you and me to enable us to make the right confession. So here's what I'm going to tell you. There's some times when you've got to become aggressive. I don't know if you understand that, but there's some times that you can't put up with what the enemy has dished out. You've got to have an aggressive confession. It's like Moses using the rod and stretching it out over Egypt and bringing the power of God into play. If I didn't believe what I'm preaching tonight, I would find something else to do, because it would be a hopeless situation for me and you between now and the rapture to fight the forces of the Antichrist that is already pressing into our situation. There's a darkness that has come across this globe. You can sense and feel it. Amen. It will put fear in the hearts of many people. But thank God the Lord has given us faith to believe. He's not left us by ourselves. To make a confession is like lifting up a banner, raising this thing up. Psalms 20 and 5. We will rejoice, David said, in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. So believers are supposed to be able to lift up a banner. Ha, ha, ha. In the name of Jesus. Look at the Song of Solomon 6 and 4. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely, and as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. Terrible or awesome as an army with banners. The bride of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, is portrayed as an army, but it's marching with banners. Awesome with banners. What a statement that is. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't have to be powerful, Brother Morgan, but I can do something. I can lift up a banner. Amen. And join together with somebody else, which is the word of the Lord, the testimony of God. I can lift it up, and this becomes a mighty, awesome army of God that is coming against the forces of hell itself. Hallelujah. I'm sick. I'm tired. I've gone through this stuff. I've seen so much that's happening in Denver, and I know San Francisco's got it. But all kinds of unbelievable rotten filth that is on every kind of technological device that you can think of tonight. I can't cover the bases. I don't know what all to do and preach on. I can't talk about you've got a cell phone and you've got iPads and you've got everything else and the filth and the rot that's there. I can't preach on everything, but I'm going to tell you I can lift up a banner. And I can tell you this, hell's got to back off. I said, hell's got to back off. My grandkids are going through things at school, seeing perversion right in the hallways of the school. How do you think they're going to be able to face what's coming, my friend, when they get adults? Their minds so full of junk. I can tell you, I'm going to lift up a banner. I've got a power, and I'm going to lift my rod out over Egypt, and I'm going to command and say the same thing that the Lord. I can do it. Hallelujah. So the bride of Christ will become a warrior bride. Amen. How do you do that? You use the word of the Lord with the right confession. You lift up the banner that God has given. So aggressive confession is lifting the banner. That becomes awesome to the forces of darkness. All right, let me give you an example. I'm going to help you tonight if I can. If I proclaim by His stripes I am healed, that's a simple statement. But it may not be easy to maintain that confession. It may not be. I've quoted it many times. And then, of course, to maintain that statement, it's been very difficult. But if I really believe that, my next step is to, if God has given me something and anybody gives you anything, the next step is to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Saying thank you is the purest and simplest way to manifest your faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And after you say thank you and mean it with all your heart, then it's time you lift your hands and praise the one that is going to do the work. You praise Him. That is the list. That's the way you do it. Amen. You quote it. You speak it. It's God's word. And then you thank God and thank God and thank God. And then you lift your hands and voice as loud as you can. And you start thanking and praising the Lord with everything that's within you. Come on, church, listen to me. You're not talking to yourself when you do that. You're not talking to the walls and the ceiling and the floors. You're not speaking just in thin air, but you're talking to a whole unseen realm. And you've got a lot of audience. God and the angels are listening. And you're reaching into a realm where things are going to be decided. Amen. You've got a lot of other listeners too. Devil and his rebellious angels and demon spirits. And when you start thanking God and you start praising God, I'm going to tell you what happens. You embarrass the devil. You embarrass the demon spirits. They say, I can't stand it any longer. They agonize when you're praising and when you're thanking God. They're agonizing because they can't take it. Oh, Jesus. I've seen it, and I know these preachers have seen it. When someone comes demon-possessed, and you begin to quote the Bible, you will see them reach up and grab their ears. It is a demonstration of these dark spirits that has filled this soul and body, that it cannot stand to hear the word of God, and it cannot stand to hear praises. Isn't it David said in Psalms, when you praise the Lord, you shut the devil's mouth. The Bible says you silence the voice of the avenger. If you like to hear him mealy mouth all the time and say, that person didn't talk to me, that person didn't talk to me, that person didn't talk to me, he just keeps on hounding and hounding. I'm too far in it to get out now. I'm just going to tell you something. The Bible says that these unclean spirits in Revelation are like frogs. You've never heard my frog sermon. I'm going to give you a little taste of it right now. Hallelujah. I was raised in Louisiana, and I was raised in the country 12 miles outside of a little old town called Waterproof that wasn't but about 600 people in Waterproof. So I was in country. I was 12 miles from the country town. So I was out there. I could hear late at night, I can hear the frogs right in the creek not far away. Hallelujah. I know you city slickers don't know what I'm talking about, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about what happened. Amen. I told Ron Libby, I said, He said, he asked me one day when he was preaching on me, he come up and said, what does a frog sound like? I said, it sounded like brekkekekekekekekek. He said, what? I said, well, there's some little ones go brekkekekekekek. He said, I never heard a frog say that. I said, what'd your frog say? Ribbit, ribbit. I said, oh, that's just them old Yankee frogs you're talking about. But I can tell you something, folks. The devil wants to get you so distracted on what I'm preaching to you tonight. He's just the most monotonous thing. He over and over and over and over and over again, he'll tell you they didn't shake your hand, they didn't shake your hand, they didn't shake your hand. Staying right there on your shoulder. They didn't speak to you, they didn't speak to you. They don't love you down there, they don't love you down there, they don't love you down there. Just over and over and over and over. If you like that, you just keep on loving it, okay? But there's some of us that wants to shut his mouth. That's why you need to open your mouth and you need to thank God and you need to praise Him. I want you to do it right now. Why don't you get on your feet and let's give praise right now. Embarrass the devil. Agonize the devil. In the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. That's right. Shut his mouth. Shut the mouth of the devil. You're not doing this to the wall. You're not doing this to the ceiling. You're not doing it to the floor. There's unseen forces that's all in this room right now. You open your mouth, they're listening to what you're saying. Why don't you be seated for a moment? Oh, yes, 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 yes. So it's not the kind of religious ritual, just an ordinary thing. It really is life and death. Jesus said Satan is a murderer. He's come to seek, kill, and destroy. That's all he's come for. If he could, he would take you out in a moment's notice. He would destroy your marriage. He would destroy your children and grandchildren. The Church in China is a book that's written about some of the things that happened. This has been years ago, several years ago. This is what the writer said. The Red Guards were turned loose on the people. Awful cruelties, persecutions, murders, torture, prison. The writer went on to say the only people who survived were those who memorized Scripture. The others ended up denying their faith, betraying their fellow believers, committed suicide, or went insane. The only thing that held the believers together and gave them life, they had the Word of God. So you're going to be attacked by the spirit of death. Yes, you are. Here's some of the signs. There's going to be a spirit come over you of just becoming morbid, depressed, darkness, loss of joy, loss of life. That spirit can drive you insane, and maybe before to betray and to deny the faith. It can come over you. But there's good news tonight. You can overcome it. And I want you to listen to me. You're going to have to use aggressive confession to do it. Psalms 118, verse 17. I'm going to say it again. I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I want everybody to say it with me. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I want you to say it again. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I want you to say it again. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep doing this. There's going to be someone in this room going to be set free from that old morbid feeling and that old valley depressed state. You've lost your joy. Come on, let's quote it right now. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Let's say it one more time. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. You do not have to submit to Satan. The Bible says submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. How many believes that? It's important for you to remember what I'm saying tonight. Amen. There's times when you have said the wrong thing. There's no doubt about it. Be seated quickly. We're going to be back up, but just be seated quickly. Amen. Amen. If you say the wrong thing, you confess the wrong thing, you have spoken the wrong thing, you've used your mouth the wrong way, the only way to turn that around is to say the right thing. Is that right? Amen. Do you remember Peter denying Jesus Christ three times? You remember him cursing? You remember him saying it so strongly, I don't know the man, I don't know the man. And then he curses and said, I don't know the man. Amen. When Jesus finally came to him, he made him repeat three times, Peter, lovest thou me? It was no gimmick. Lovest thou me? Yes, I love you, Lord. All right, feed my sheep. And Peter, hey, do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And feed my sheep. Hey, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. You know I care. Feed my lambs. You know why? It was no gimmick. The Lord was causing Peter to unsay something and to cancel out the wrong confession and give a right confession. In the name of Jesus tonight, you might have done some things wrong and said some things wrong, but I want you to reverse it tonight. I want you to turn it around and let's start talking in the right way and make the right kind of confession. Let's get back on the right path in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of us have said some really bad confessions, and I'll admit it. Some have said, I wish I'd never been born. I wish that I could die. Some folks have said that. Well, when you travel late at night and you try to look for a place to get a room, stop. What's the one word you're looking for in a hotel? Vacancy, thank you. So when you say a negative confessions, what you're doing is offering vacancies to spirits of destruction. I'm going to be labeled for talking like this, Brother Morgan, but I'm too old to stop now. There's something that's going to happen to this church, I believe. It's not going to be just a little revival that you're trying to get through. You're going to be able to get up and start walking on that spirit that has plagued and tried its best to get you so beat down. There's a spirit in this room called the Word of the Lord that you're going to start confessing and saying the same as. You can take it now. You're going to have to find it. I'm going to give you some scriptures for various problems and situations. I'm going to have us right now in just a few moments. You better write them down. I don't have an extra copy. I can get them from my secretary. Amen. And get them out here if you want them. But I'm going to ask you to do this. Amen. When you are attacked by sickness, when you're attacked by sickness, 1 Peter 2 and 24. I thank God for doctors. I go to doctors. Hey, listen to this. I went to my primary care doctor and he said, Billy, you got to lose weight. I said, oh, really? Yeah. Okay. I went and found me another doctor to get a second opinion on that. Well, that doctor said the same thing. It made me mad. I had to see my heart doctor about a week later. He checked me. I said, you're doing good, but you need to lose weight. Well, anyway, I thank God for doctors. I believe they're part of God's way of helping us. But the real channel of healing is what Jesus did on the cross. This is what I will quote my best I can. Folks, I'm not trying to get you to just memorize Scripture. If you can't do anything else but just write it down, walk around and just read it from the Bible. This is as powerful as anything I know. The devil's going to have to keep backing off. Let that old frog say what he wants to say, but you keep repeating the word of the Lord. It's not going to be long. You're going to shut his mouth. And there's going to be something come across your spirit and your soul. You're going to be thanking God, Lord, I believe this word. I believe it. I'm taking this rod of God right here, and I'm going to stretch it out over my situation. Am I talking to anybody in this room right now that's ready to do something like that? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24. Read it. Read it to the devil. Read it to anybody. Amen. It may sound elementary, but it's not, because it's going out. You're speaking the same thing as God is speaking, who His own self bear our sins in His own body. 1 Peter 2:24. On the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Amen. Amen. There's people in this room that's fought this, and I know it is, because I've fought it. Physical and emotional pressure that can just come over you, and after a while you can say, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. Why did so-and-so do that to me? Amen. I'm going to get you a response right now. Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Is there anybody in this room ready to confess that? Get your Bible out and read it right there. Come on, stand up and put your Bible out. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Come on, let's say it again. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If that's not good enough, I'm going to get another response for you. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. We're talking about physical and emotional pressure. Amen. 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 Let's read it. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What's wrong with repeating what God said? That's aggressive confession. That's why I'm trying to get you to move from being in the defense, just sitting here somewhere and just complaining and just down in the dumps. You can do better than that. You can come out of this thing, get these scriptures and just read them. If you can't do anything else, and you can't pray strong enough prayers, just read them out loud and proclaim them and prophesy them. Be aggressive! Come on! Be aggressive! What about your home? Anybody needing the Lord to get involved in your home? What about your business? What about your ministry? Amen. Something you're responsible for that's under attack. I'm going to read this. I had it in the NIV. I thought it might be a little easier to understand, but I ought to know better. Amen. Amen. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. Let's read it through 27. Thy shoes shall be ironed in brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. Oh, God is riding through the heavens, just waiting for you to say something so he can help. Oh, I believe that. And in his excellency on the sky. Verse 27, everybody, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. I'm going to quit, but I got just to cover this. Hallelujah. That's moving from the defensive to the aggressive. Now I'm coming to mental conflict. Amen. This is usually the area where spiritual warfare is the greatest. Battleground, spiritual warfare is in the realm of the mind, mostly. God has made provision for it. If you're going to let the devil work you over here, then you're missing the whole point. There's a response. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 and following. Let's read it together. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Woo! Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him for that. Whose strongholds are being cast down? The Bible says strongholds of Satan. He has taken some negative confessions and he has put things together, deposited stuff in our minds, prejudices, fears, wrong misunderstandings against people. We don't know the whole story, but they've got to be cast down. And the way they're cast down is by the power of this rod that I hold in my hand tonight. Amen. I'm keeping this close by because I want to make sure when I get into situations I can't handle, I can get a word of God and I can give an aggressive confession. I can confront the enemy. The word of the Lord's going to drive him off the premises, and I believe that with all my heart tonight. Amen. What about political issues? What about San Francisco's political issues? What about Denver's political issues? What about Washington, D.C.'s political issues? What about situations in my community? Daniel 2 and 20. Daniel 2 and 20. Let's read it together. Daniel answered and said, this is all you got to do is just read it, folks. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in Him. I'm fixing to give you a real aggressive prayer. Exodus 23 and 20. Exodus 23 and 20. Let's go. Behold, I send an angel. All right. Before thee, to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if, come on, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and break thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I'll cut them off! I want to read some more. Then I'm going to shut up. Verse 24. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. Come on, I need some help. I want you confessing. This is what God has written. I want you to use it against the enemy. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Let's give him thanks for it, and let's give him praise. Hallelujah. All right, I'm closing with this. I want you to understand something. When Jesus came in the earthly ministry and went into the wilderness, you remember? You remember he was confronted by the devil. God is called in other places in the Old Testament the God of armies. And he's called in some places the Lord of hosts. So the Lord's got everything at his disposal. There's just probably just one breath of his word. He could have stepped off the cross of Calvary. He could have walked away. He's got the power over the elements. He can speak to the winds and they'll lay down and obey him. He can speak there to a fish to go in a certain place and bite a certain hook, pick up a certain coin, and there give, pay taxes. He's got the power over the animal kingdom and the fishes of the sea. He's got power over the birds. He can speak to ravens and have them to go and to feed the prophet. He's got power over all the elements. But he chose to use something. When the devil came to him, he wanted the devil to know, I'm going to use what every person in the world is going to be able to use, whether they've been on a 40-day fast or not. They're going to be able to use the same weapon against you, Satan, and that is, it is written. It is written. I believe it was last year, maybe the year before. You'll remember this in the news. About a week or two before this happens, and I'll explain what happened. So, we had got caught up in trying our best to take new territories, is what we were calling it. Take a new territories in our city. I preached messages like I'm preaching here tonight. I preached others about spiritual warfare and how to move and operate in the spirit. I'm too old now to be careful in some of these areas, so I'm just dishing out and giving everything I can. And so I gave them my vision and my dream. Basically, my son-in-law and my daughter, who knows how to plan strategies and everything else, they began to set things in order and to take new territories in Denver. We've got 79, they count it, 79 neighborhoods in Denver, Colorado. 79 neighborhoods. And I told them I wanted them to get a bunch of teams together. Two or three. Just walk in these neighborhoods. Get out and walk the sidewalk. Just walk the sidewalk. Go by the restaurants. Go by the shopping areas. Whatever. Just walk. Pray a little bit and get a feeling about the spirit that seems to be prevalent in that particular neighborhood. Then I want you to come back and give a report. You're basically operating as a scout team. A scout team. You're going to scout this out. I know this is far-fetched, but I'm going to give you the story, okay? Amen. And we got neighborhood such and such. We felt this kind of spirit here. There was incredible voodoo and witchcraft and so on. I don't know what all they were. But it was not important for me to know. Then we began to gather more recruits. And now it was not just scout teams. They were going to go out in prayer bands. They were going to go out with the Word of God. They would drive up to the top level of parking garages. They would step out of their car or sit there and look out over that area of the city. And they would pray against the powers of darkness. Come against the powers of evil. I know it's way out. I know it is. But these prayer bands were so overcome, and God anointed them so much. Things began to stir in our city. You remember the horrible massacre that took place in Aurora, there in the theater. This was about a week or so later. The demons of hell were so stirred up. Now, this is not a one-time thing. I'm not talking about them constantly going out. I'm talking about them praying a prayer that's going to settle. And there's a residual feeling and power that's in that area. There was other situations that rose up in high schools and guns and all just manifestations and horrible stuff that began to come out. You say, Brother Hale, I don't want to stir that kind of business up. Well, we got to do something. We got to do something. We can't sit here and watch the enemy destroy our homes and our children and everything else. We're going to have to take authority over somehow or another. Amen. As a result of that, Amen. There has been new people coming into our church. I have never seen them before. All kinds of people, all walks of life, all kinds of darkness that they have been involved in. Nobody's invited them that I know of, but they're just all of a sudden, the devil's had to release some of these people that he's had his hands upon. I don't know tonight. I don't know. I tell you what I want you to do before the singers sing. I want you to get your mind right now on Jesus Christ. Lift your hands, close your eyes, and I want you to do something. We're fixing to do something here for the city of San Francisco. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I want you to turn a different direction than looking at me, if you will. Maybe east, maybe west. If you don't know which way, just turn some way. Amen, amen. I want you to speak out into this thin air. I want you to prophesy to the wind. I want dry bones to start moving. Shikamande! Come on. I want you to speak a word of faith. I want you to get a vision of what you want to see. I want you to command it to happen in the name of Jesus.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free, yeah.
Come on, let's agree together. Get with somebody that you can agree with what I preach here tonight. In the name of Jesus, you're going to take authority. You're going to be aggressive in the name of Jesus. I know it works. This is coming right out of experience. I know the power of God that's in the Word of the Lord. Come on.
Jesus. Don't stop speaking to it. Speak to it. Prophesy to it. Open your mouth and say something. Declare. Declare it. Declare it. Come on, Moses. Speak to the rock. Speak to it. Speak.